For the Brighter Future Ahead. Written by Potterhead Adventure Demigod. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandoms, I Delayed My Death Because of a Will by Shaolin. And Mission Save the Hunter webcomic. Relationships. Kwon Jian / Yoon So, aka So Chaeyun. Lee So Kyung and Yoon So, aka So Chaeyun. Sometimes, Lee So-kyung couldn't quite believe that it had truly been 13 years since he'd last remembered. When he'd still been in recovery, everything around him had seemed fairly normal. Maybe the monitoring equipment was more advanced than he'd known, and his family looked older than he last remembered, but it wasn't anything that he couldn't overlook. Even So Chaeyun had looked the same as he always did, in his mini-pocketed dark tactical gear, mask firmly affixed to his face. Then, So Chaeyun had removed the mask, introduced himself as Yoon So, and suddenly Lee So-kyung couldn't quite avoid the knowledge anymore. He thought about everything that he'd learned since he'd woken up, when his sister had clung to him for a good 10 minutes before finally letting him go, after he'd finally gotten access to the internet. And oh, that was something else to have to adjust to. The ridiculously fast advancement of human technology. They had holographic screens now? Tiny wristwatch-sized devices that could project screens that you could actively interact with? That seemed like the stuff of science fiction movies, back from the days that Lee So-kyung could recall. But now it was just reality. So Chaeyun, Yoon So when he had his mask off, Lee So-kyung reminded himself, although he supposed it would be all right to call him by the name he was familiar with right now, given the presence of said mask, sat across from him in So-kyung Guild's cafeteria, and Lee So-kyung sighed inaudibly. The hunter he'd known had never revealed his face, so it had been easy to ignore how young the boy under the mask had sounded. But to look at that face now, still youthful, looking younger than So-kyung had before everything, Lee So-kyung couldn't help but mourn the realization that So Chaeyun had been too young then, and was still young now. 19, he had calculated, at the time of the first, and what a fright that had been, to hear that descriptor, Great Dungeon. Too young to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, too young to watch 1,201 of his comrades die. Lee So-kyung had read the news. The Great Dungeon had been the first thing that he'd searched about upon getting his hands on the internet, and even though the articles about the second Great Dungeon had spiked his heart rate so high that doctors had come rushing into his room, he found out what had happened anyway. He had to have his sister explain a little, but he got the gist of it. 1,203 had gone in. Only 4 had come out. And of those 4, only 2 lived. Somehow, Lee So-kyung doesn't see the trauma that he'd feared he would see in So Chaeyun's dark eyes. It's something he'd been worried about, then confused, then glad, when he'd seen the easy, genuine way that So Chaeyun smiled. Perhaps human technology had evolved so greatly that it could even treat a trauma as severe as the Great Dungeon would have been. Or perhaps 13 years really was that long, and time truly healed all wounds. Lee So-kyung didn't know, and wouldn't ask. He doesn't doubt that no matter how carefree So Chaeyun seems now, that there was always a little lingering trauma. He'd heard the rattle of a pill bottle in So Chaeyun's pocket, after all, the same rattle that he'd heard from almost every hunter since the Cataclysm. But the man sitting across from him seemed flush with contentment, even with a mask on his face. It was something that he hadn't expected, had been almost shocked by, when So Chaeyun had walked into the cafeteria and sat down across from him. He'd just come from cleaning an S-rank overflow, even though it was his day off, Lee So-kyung found out. His ego weapon, which Lee So-kyung had since learned was named Rice Ball, was in the form of a small bluebird and sat nestled against the crook of his shoulder, peeping every so often. So Tae-yoon's hair was a little messy, and there was monster blood on his uniform, but otherwise he didn't seem too badly off. Although, Lee So-kyung had noticed a slight limp in So Tae-yoon's gait when he'd first strode into the cafeteria. Nothing too serious. If So Tae-yoon could sit across from him like this in the middle of a crowded cafeteria, eating ravenously without a care in the world. Really, whoever had designed his face mask in a way that still allowed him to eat must be a genius. And that was another thing about this new world that he liked. That hunters could come in from something as serious as an S-rank dungeon overflow and still be relaxed enough to enjoy a hearty meal, looking thoroughly uninjured. That humanity had apparently grown strong enough that such instances were less of a death sentence and more of a minor hassle. Every so often, So Tae-yoon would pause in his eating to offer a bite to rice ball instead, and Lee So-kyung watched fondly as the bird happily devoured whatever was offered, peeping endlessly. He missed his own thinking spirit, and desperately wished that it would awaken soon. Silently, Lee So-kyung hoped that the ego weapon he'd given to So Tae-yoon had come to good use. It had only been a day or two, so he doubted that morning sunlight spirit had hatched yet, or if it had even been passed on to its future owner yet. But Lee So-kyung hoped that it would serve its owner well. "You've been staring for a while," So Tae-yoon said, in between a mouthful of food. His voice was only slightly deeper than Lee So-kyung's memories, but it did remind him of the years that had passed. "Peep," Rice Ball chorused, as if in agreement with its owner. And Lee So-kyung laughed, then shrugged. "I just realized that even though we cleared dungeons together for 3 years, we have never eaten together like this before." So Tae-yoon's spoon paused halfway to his mouth, and he put it back down with a thoughtful hum. "Well, back then, I never really had the time to sit and eat like this. I don't think you did either." Ah, Lee So-kyung thought about it and knew that So Tae-yoon was speaking the truth. "Well, maybe we can eat here more often, next time." So Tae-yoon swallowed another mouthful of food and tilted his head to one side. "I usually only come to the cafeteria after dungeons, if not Kwon-ji-an cooks, but I wouldn't be averse to doing this again." Lee So-kyung blinked. "Kwon-ji-an cooks?" He had no idea how to interpret that sentence, to be honest. He knew that So Tae-yoon was now part of the guild's elite squad, but did Kwon-ji-an cook for the entire perfect team? He supposed that made the most sense, although it seemed like too much effort to cook for your entire team every day for every meal. Maybe he had a cooking skill? So Tae-yoon said suddenly, and Lee So-kyung looked back up to meet his gaze through the eye holes of his mask. "That reminds me. You told the guild that you were ready to get back to work, right? Yoo Jun-sil asked Kwon-ji-an and I to take you to a dungeon next week, to update your Gaia system and familiarize you with the new functions. It shouldn't be hard, it's an A-rank yellow dungeon. Kwon-ji-an and I would be able to solo those easily." Lee So-kyung didn't recall the So Tae-yoon of 13 years ago ever being quite so cavalier about his own strength, but he supposed that time truly did change things. It wasn't a bad change, though. So Tae-yoon was more than strong enough to make such statements with confidence, after all. "I'll be glad to learn," Lee So-kyung said instead. He'd heard all about the new upgrades that the Gaia system had had in the years he'd been unconscious, and he'd already tested out the inventory system a few days ago. If they'd had that in the past, things would truly have been much, much easier. "I'll send you the dungeon brief notes," So Tae-yoon said. Despite the fact that he'd ordered what was easily 5 people's worth of food, he was already down to his last few bites. Usually for important dungeons, there's a dungeon briefing, but this one will be simple enough that Yoo Jun-sil just sent Kwon-ji-an and I some notes instead. Lee So-kyung shook his head in disbelief. Dungeon briefings. He could hardly believe that they were a thing now, that you could know about a dungeon's interior before you even entered it. But that was the world that he lived in now, I'll read through it, he promised. And so Taeyun nodded as he finished the remainder of his food. As he scooped the last spoonful of rice into his mouth, feeding Rice Ball one last strip of meat, So Taeyun pulled out his phone, seemingly opening and replying to a text message. His shoulders relaxed, cheerfulness palpable even through the barrier of his mask, and Lee So-kyung blinked. I'll be headed off, So Taeyun said, looking up from his phone. I still have plans for the rest of the day. The dungeon run will be next Monday at 8 a.m. The rest of the details should be in the notes I'll send you. Ah, Lee So-kyung said, still reeling a little. The So Taeyun that he had known had barely shown any emotion at all, but the man in front of him had an almost visible aura of bliss around him, and there was a smile in his voice now that hadn't been there at the start of their conversation. Let me walk you out, So Taeyun. So Taeyun paused halfway out of his seat, then shrugged. I'm just headed to the main entrance. My ride is here. If you'd like to join, there's no issues, but if it's a question about the dungeon, you can just ask Yu Juntal, or even just ask any of the Perfect Team 1's members to leave you a message if I'm not around. It's not a long walk, Lee So-kyung said, smiling. He pushed himself out of his seat, too, and came to stand beside the younger hunter. I could use the chance to stretch my legs a little. And to see more of this happiness, he didn't say. There was something about So Taeyun today that almost glowed, and Lee So-kyung couldn't help but want to watch that joy for a little while longer. Like this, Lee So-kyung could almost believe that this man wasn't carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Suit yourself. So Taeyun shrugged, then began making his way to the guild's main entrance. Rice Ball was now perched in his messy hair instead, and Lee So-kyung had to fight the urge to pet the small bird when it peeped and fluffed out its feathers, shaking to nestle deeper into So Taeyun's hair. And, oh, the limp in So Taeyun's step that Lee So-kyung had noticed when he'd first seen the other man earlier was still there, and now he was a little concerned. It had been long enough that an S-rank's healing should have begun to work by now, but that odd gait of So Taeyun's still hadn't changed. Did you injure your leg in the overflow earlier? Lee So-kyung asked, drawing level with So Taeyun. You're limping. You should get a healer to check you out. Strangely enough, So Taeyun froze at his words, and Lee So-kyung watched in bemusement as his ears turned a little pink under the messy black strands of his hair. His heartbeat picked up slightly, and Lee So-kyung frowned. Getting injured in battle was nothing to be embarrassed about, after all. It happened to the best of hunters. So Taeyun stammered, and the crease in Lee So-kyung's brow only grew. It's nothing. I already saw a healer before I came by. Given the lack of any other injury on him, Lee So-kyung supposed that So Taeyun was telling the truth, but still. Well, he guessed that maybe he would just let So Taeyun be if he seemed this reluctant. Well, Lee So-kyung said, willing his brow to unfurrow. Take care, then. So Taeyun nodded and his shoulders relaxed a little, slightly enough that Lee So-kyung wouldn't have noticed it had it not been for his heightened senses as an S-rank. They walked in silence, coming to a stop in the guild's main lobby. Lee So-kyung eyed So Taeyun for a long moment, taking in the way he absentmindedly stroked Rice Ball's feathers, the way his smiling eyes were visible through the eye holes in his mask. It was good that So Taeyun seemed so joyful, although a part of Lee So-kyung wondered what the cause of it was. Could it be that, because after 13 years he'd finally gotten rid of his abnormal healing resistance? Lee So-kyung supposed that had it been him with such a condition, he'd be equally as glad to be rid of it. Selfishly, Lee So-kyung was glad that he had Gaia's touch. If he hadn't had it, he didn't know how it would have felt to live with the knowledge that he had stolen So Taeyun's one hope of a normal life out from under him. That this boy, who was now a man, still too young, he thought, had once given up himself for the sake of another. So Taeyun, he started, only to pause when a car pulled into the driveway outside the building, and So Taeyun perked up. Ah, that's my ride. the other hunter said. I'll see you on Monday. Lee So-kyung blinked, then smiled. There would be plenty of time to make small talk with So Tae-yoon in the future. He wouldn't hold him back from his plans. See you Monday, then. Out in the driveway, the car window rolled down, and a head of dark wavy hair stuck out.
Young.
The man in the car called, waving. He looked vaguely familiar, Lee So-kyung thought, but he couldn't truly place the face. No matter, though, it was clear that whoever he was, he must have been one of So Tae-yoon's close friends, because the younger hunter lit up, returning the wave as he headed over. As So Tae-yoon drew nearer, the man grinned and held out an open palm, cooing a low,
"Hey, rice ball."
And Lee So-kyung watched with raised eyebrows as said bluebird immediately began peeping up a storm, flitting from So Tae-yoon's head to land in the man's offered hand, rubbing its beak into his palm.
Yeah, I missed you too, rice ball.
The man said, laughing lowly, and withdrawing his hand to press a kiss to rice ball's head.
I swear, So Tae-yoon grumbled, getting into the car. It's like he's not even my item the moment you're around.
Rice ball peeped, and the man shrugged.
It's not my fault that we bonded, young.
Their voices became muffled as the man rolled up the window, and So Tae-yoon shut the door. But even as the car pulled away from the driveway and began on its way, Lee So-kyung could hear shared laughter fading into the distance. He was glad, really, to see that So Tae-yoon could laugh so freely.
Was that Lee So-kyung who was waiting with you?
Kwon Tian asked, leaning over to steal a kiss from Yoon So's lips the moment that he removed his mask.
Yeah. Why do you ask?
Kwon Tian chuckled, stroking one finger down Rice Ball's back.
Nothing much. Just thinking that I should thank him properly when I meet him. He's the reason our Rice Ball has a friend now, right? And...
Kwon Tian's voice trailed off, and Yoon So turned to see a mischievous glint in his eyes.
And the reason that my relationship with Hyung finally leveled up.
Kwon Tian continued, grinning.
Luckily, we had to clear that dungeon overflow earlier, right, Hyung? No one will question why you've been limping the whole day then.
Yoon So's face flushed red, and he turned sharply away from Kwon Tian's mirthful gaze.
Kwon Tian, you...
His boyfriend just laughed, continuing to pet Rice Ball, and Yoon So couldn't stop the way his own lips twitched as well. Monday couldn't come quickly enough, Lee So-kyung thought. Although it had technically been 13 years since he'd last been in a dungeon, to him it felt like it had been no time at all, and he was itching to get back into fighting shape. He'd heard that dungeon monsters were different now, that among the normal ones, there were also creatures called distorted beings, shadow-like monsters that were far more vicious than the regular beast. Besides, he'd heard that So Tae-yoon had only improved his skills, and that Kwon Tian was the strongest offensive hunter in the world. He would be lying if he said he wasn't interested in seeing the two in action. The dungeon they would be entering today, the briefing notes had said, had a rocky, craggy terrain that constantly fractured apart without warning, which made flying items or skills extremely important. The boss was a plant type, supposedly, although that seemed to be the only information they were able to glean about it. Other than that, they'd been warned to expect both regular beasts as well as distorted beings, and Lee So-kyung was morbidly curious to see what these beings looked like.
Ready to head in?
So Tae-yoon's voice broke into his thoughts, and Lee So-kyung looked up to see said hunter getting out of his car, gear already strapped on and mask in place. From the car's other door, a tall, leanly muscled man stepped out, shutting the door behind him and turning to regard Lee So-kyung with slate-gray eyes. This was the same man who had come to pick up So Tae-yoon from the guild that day, and his presence here could only mean that he was, in fact, the Kwon Tian that Lee So-kyung had heard so much about.
It's nice to finally meet you,
Kwon Tian said, coming to stand in front of Lee So-kyung. This close, Lee So-kyung could see how tall the man truly was, standing at a height that was impressive even for an S-rank. Almost half a head taller than Lee So-kyung himself was.
The presence that surrounded Gwon Ji-yeon was so oppressive that it was actually impressive. And Lee So-kyung was almost forcibly reminded of how strong Earth's defenders had grown in the time he'd been asleep. He had wavy dark hair that fell in his eyes and multiple piercings in both his ears, dressed in a dark leather coat and a harness over a gray shirt and black jeans tucked into combat boots. He looked like the picture-perfect description of a neighborhood hooligan, and yet his mannerisms were oddly polite. Even stranger, Lee So-kyung thought, was the white ferret draped contentedly over his shoulders, rubbing its face into his neck.
"I wanted to thank you for Morning Sunlight's spirit," Gwon Ji-yeon continued. "I have never had a weapon that could withstand my mana strength for an extended period of time, so I can't even begin to explain how priceless of a gift it is. It hasn't hatched yet, but I'd still like to show my gratitude."
So Chae-yoon crossed his arms and said, "We've been looking for a weapon for him for years, so Morning Sunlight's spirit really came at the perfect timing."
"Ah."
Lee So-kyung started, startled. He hadn't been expecting such profuse thanks, not for doing something he'd always intended to do in the first place. In fact, such a price for what So Chae-yoon had almost given up for Lee So-kyung's sake seemed almost inconsequential, all things considered.
"You're welcome. I hope that it serves you well. Bringing me into this dungeon is more than enough repayment, to be honest. It would be good to understand what's changed in all the years I've been away."
Gwon Ji-yeon took his words in stride, a bright smile coming over his lips.
"All right. We'll make sure to show you everything there is to learn. Isn't that right, Hyung?"
So Chae-yoon, Lee So-kyung thought, seemed to have rolled his eyes, but he nodded anyway, turning to face the dungeon portal. "I'll apply some shields, then we can head in." There was a brief glimmer of blue. Then Lee So-kyung felt the familiar blanket of So Chae-yoon's shielding mana settle over him. He hadn't felt the need to have any insight or perception skills active, so he hadn't seen any skill activation notifications, but he didn't need them to recognize the sensation of So Chae-yoon's famous shield.
"Let's go, Hyung,"
Gwon Ji-yeon said, the moment the shields were in place. And Lee So-kyung watched bemusedly as the taller hunter grabbed So Chae-yoon by the hand, all but dragging him toward the dungeon portal. Lagging behind a few steps, Lee So-kyung blinked as So Chae-yoon made an indignant noise and hit Gwon Ji-yeon in the shoulder.
"Gwon Ji-yeon, let go of me. Also, I can't believe you treat Lee So-kyung with more manners than you've ever treated anyone else. Why can't you be this polite normally?" "Hey. He is the reason our poor rice ball is no longer lonely. How can you not be grateful for that?"
The word seemed to cut off whatever retort that So Chae-yoon had had, because the other hunter shut his mouth with an audible click. Instead, the ferret that was curled over Gwon Ji-yeon's shoulders perked its head up, letting out a very familiar-sounding peep, before it abruptly shifted into an even more familiar blue bird, and Lee So-kyung stared. That had been rice ball. So Chae-yoon's existing spirit, his bonded weapon, curled up on Gwon Ji-yeon instead of with his owner? Vaguely, Lee So-kyung recalled what he had overheard So Chae-yoon grumbling about when they'd parted last week, about rice ball no longer feeling like his item once Gwon Ji-yeon was around. And Lee So-kyung had to stifle the laugh that wanted to surface. It was strange, definitely, for a bonded item to be so clingy with someone who wasn't its owner, but he supposed that it wasn't too unbelievable, especially since he'd heard from other guild members that Rice Ball was quite the attention seeker, and it seemed like Gwon Ji-yeon and So Chae-yoon were indeed quite close. After all, Thinking Spirit had never been especially clingy, but it had always appreciated the occasional pet from a friend or teammate. One hand resting on the temporary chain whip that was wrapped around his waist, Lee So-kyung briefly brought Thinking Spirit's egg out of his inventory to run his fingers over its shell for just a moment.
"Hatch soon, all right," he whispered,
and swore that he felt the egg tremble under his fingers. Petting the egg once more, he tucked it safely back into his inventory, then picked up the pace to catch up with the pair in front of him. Together, they stepped into the dungeon.
The moment that Lee So-kyung's foot made contact with the ground, so rough and uneven that he could even feel it through the thick soles of his boots, a flood of system notifications popped to life across his vision. You have entered the Great Dungeon. Number of hunters, 3. Time until explosion, 188 hours. It has been determined that no additional participants will enter the dungeon. The dungeon portal is closing. Gaia system updating. It's been a while. Even if the update takes a while, please wait patiently. Guild tab has been activated. So-kyung Guild, S rank. Guild subspace, guild chat window, guild member location tracking. Dungeon tab has been activated. Jungpyeong Dungeon Monster Encyclopedia. Map. Once you clear the dungeon, modifications and records will be possible. You can also access them externally using shop items. The interface now displays experience points, health, and mana status. Experience points are being recalculated. Gaia system update complete. Gaia welcomes you. You can now receive messages from the guardian gods who watch over you. The god of fortitude applauds your dungeon entry. The god of balance cheers for your decision to return. Check your total health and mana in the status category. Purchase necessary items and skills with experience points in the shop category.
He'd heard that you could receive messages from the blessing gods over system notifications now, which was a far better method in his opinion. Only receiving questionably helpful revelations in dreams that were easily forgotten had been downright frustrating at times.
You have received Dungeon Tab User Manual.
You can never read through the Dungeon Tab User Manual, So Chae-yoon said, and Lee So-kyung looked up. There was something different about his voice, and... Oh. So Chae-yoon had one hand over his face in the process of removing his mask, and Lee So-kyung blinked. So Chae-yoon, you... Blinking dark eyes at him, So Chae-yoon offered him a thin smile. It's just the three of us here. We all know who I am anyway. Please, call me Yoon-so. Yoon-so, then, Lee So-kyung said. All right, please give me a moment to skim through the guide before we begin the dungeon. Yoon-so nodded, and as Lee So-kyung began reading, he was vaguely aware of Yoon-so turning back to face Kwon Ji-an, who had a dark blade held loosely in one hand. No monsters nearby, Kwon Ji-an reported, eyes still scanning the horizon. The only concern right now would be the shifting terrain, since the briefing notes said the ground cracks apart regularly. If Hyung can put up a shield in case the ground breaks, I can place the guildstone here. Yoon-so hummed, and Lee So-kyung felt the familiar gathering of mana before a blue shield shimmered to life. We should have some time. Watcher's sword isn't revealing anything about the terrain changes, so unless Gaia's eye is showing you something, we shouldn't have to worry for now. Nothing from Gaia's eye either, Hyung, Kwon Ji-an said, and Lee So-kyung finished his brief skim just in time to see the taller hunter set down a stone tower that shone a pale silver, and received a system notification informing him of the new guildstone setup, as well as the addition of a move to guildstone function. He could barely believe that the Gaia system had changed so much in the years he'd been gone. A dungeon resources tab? A map? One that recorded everywhere you'd been, and valuable resources to collect? A guildstone that could spontaneously teleport one person out of danger? Even if it was just one person, it was far better than none. A part of him was bitter that they hadn't had this in the past, but most of him was just awed. The update would make every dungeon so much simpler for the future, which meant less lives lost, less hunters injured, less families devastated. It was a change that could be nothing but good, and Lee So-kyung tucked away his negative thoughts in favor of these ones instead. I'm done reading, Lee So-kyung said, and Yoon-so nodded. We'll start then. Kwon Ji-an, you...
On it, Hyung.
Without waiting for Yoon-so to even complete the sentence, Kwon-sian pulled a few odd contraptions out of his inventory, charging them up with mana. Within seconds, the machines were hovering in midair, and then speeding off in opposite directions. Boss alarms, Yoon-so explained belatedly, seeing Lee So-kyung's confused look. They'll alert us when the boss is found. In the meantime, mob ahead. Kwon-sian finished, and the blue bird perched on his head flitted into Yoon-so's hand immediately, transforming into a familiar dagger between one blank and the next. An A-rank dungeon shouldn't have mobs higher than B-rank, but because Earth is now a level 3 planet, even the B-rank mobs are stronger than they used to be. Don't let your guard down. The monsters were an odd mix of tendril tentacle-like creatures, which looked like plants if plants tended to be shaped like squid. They squirmed over the craggy terrain, occasionally spewing acid that spattered and fizzled out harmlessly against Yoon-so's shield. Ahead of them, Kwon-sian already had his sword brandished and was cutting through them almost effortlessly, carving a path fearlessly, without even any skill usage that Lee So-kyung could make out. Acid splashed, fizzling out again, and Lee So-kyung watched as mana glowed blue around Kwon-sian once more. Kwon-sian turned back to shoot them a grin, then threw himself even further into the mob. Yoon-so had reinforced Kwon-sian's shield without even looking at him, Lee So-kyung realized. Even while speaking to Lee So-kyung, Yoon-so was still keeping track of the battle so seamlessly that he hadn't even needed to watch to know when to reinforce his shield. And Kwon-sian had known, the moment that the shield had been reinforced. A screech nearby, and Yoon-so caught a stray tentacle on the blade of his dagger, slicing it in half. Blue flashed in his eyes, and the creature froze in midair, held in place by some unseen force. Yoon-so nodded to Lee So-kyung, then leapt into action. In his right hand, existing spirit was sparking with electricity, and the plant squid creature exploded under his blade the moment the weapon made contact, splattering green-gray monster guts everywhere. With a grin of his own, Lee So-kyung unwound the chain whip from around his waist and jumped into battle as well. No matter that these two were known as the world's strongest hunters, Lee So-kyung was still an S-rank after all, and he wasn't about to be shown up. Fighting monsters, it turned out, was pretty much the same, no matter how different the dungeon system was. With three S-ranks against a mob of B-rank monsters, they cleared the battlefield in what felt like seconds, although Lee So-kyung was aware enough to know that it was likely at least a quarter hour. Mana potion, Kwon-sian asked, offering him a blue-tinted bottle, but Lee So-kyung declined. The battle had been so quick that he'd barely used a single skill, mostly relying on the swing of his whip with only the occasional mana reinforcement. You'd be better off offering it to Yoon-so, Lee So-kyung said instead. He kept his shields up on all three of us the entire fight. He should need some. Kwon-sian blinked, then put the mana potion back in his inventory. Hyung doesn't need it. He only used Spark and Protecting Veil the entire fight. Oh, I guess he used telekinesis at the start of it all, but only the once. His mana probably isn't even dropped below 95%, the overpowered main character. I'll have you know it's at 94%. Yoon-so shot back from where he was poking at the remnants of a dead creature to see if there were any interesting byproducts to harvest.
You're proving my point,
Kwon-sian called, and Lee So-kyung could only try to stifle a chuckle. Dungeons had always used to be looming, ominous, possibly fatal threats, never something that could be taken lightly. But watching Kwon-sian and Yoon-so bickering good-naturedly in the middle of one instead, it felt good, seeing how far humanity had come. And, he had to admit, seeing Yoon-so being unconcerned enough in a dungeon to engage in friendly banter, him being close enough with another hunter to do so at all, made something in him lighten. Even if it was a little startling, how closely Kwon-sian must have been paying attention to Yoon-so to map his every move on the battlefield. But he was glad that Yoon-so had finally found a hunter who he was clearly regularly partnering with, given how well Kwon Si-han was able to track Yoon-so's mana usage.
"Have the boss alarms signaled anything?"
Lee-seok-yong asked, refocusing on the dungeon. No matter that 3 S-ranks clearing an A-rank dungeon seemed excessive, he knew that it was never a good idea to be overconfident.
"Nothing yet," Kwon Si-han replied. "Since none of us are low on mana, we can continue. Young!"
A surge of mana and a pair of black wings larger than Kwon Si-han was tall flared from his back. They propelled him forward so quickly that all Lee-seok-yong saw was a blur, darting into the large crevice that had opened up right where Yoon-so had been standing. Lee-seok-yong's heart pounded in his chest. He had no flying skills, so if he tried to help, he would only hinder the other 2 hunters. Although he'd equipped a flying item, it wasn't on full durability, and he knew it was prudent to save it for when it was truly needed. Besides, with the speed that Kwon Si-han had reacted, Lee-seok-yong had hoped that nothing much had really happened besides startling Yoon-so a little. And, of course, he was right. Within moments, Yoon-so was floating out of the crevice on his own power, Kwon Si-han hovering beside him, wings smaller than Lee-seok-yong remembered, but flapping so quickly they were practically a blur.
"I do have a flying skill, you know," Yoon-so was saying, but his tone sounded gentle rather than annoyed.
He had a hand on Kwon Si-han's arm. There was something frantic in the taller hunter's gaze, his heart rabbiting in his chest so quickly that Lee-seok-yong could barely make out its individual beats.
"Kwon Si-han,"
Yoon-so was saying, drawing closer to said hunter.
"Kwon Si-han, Si-han, I'm okay. I'm perfectly all right. I barely even fell at all."
The moment the pair landed, Kwon Si-han lunged towards Yoon-so, pulling him into a tight hug. The taller hunter buried his face in Yoon-so's hair, and Lee-seok-yong watched, stunned, when Yoon-so did nothing but raise both his arms to wrap them around Kwon Si-han in return.
"Gaia's eye barely notified me in time, Hyung,"
Kwon Si-han said, voice muffled in Yoon-so's hair.
"I was so relieved when I saw you using telekinesis. I was so scared I wouldn't catch you in time."
There was something deeper there, Lee-seok-yong thought. He was a hunter from the first generation, one of the first awakened from the Great Cataclysm. He knew what fear and trauma sounded like, and this reaction fit perfectly. Maybe, he thought, the second clear of the Great Dungeon hadn't been as consequence-free as had been celebrated, after all.
"Hey,"
Yoon-so shushed, rubbing one hand down Kwon Si-han's back. Lee-seok-yong decided that he'd heard enough of what was absolutely none of his business. He turned away to inspect their surroundings instead, busying himself with trying to identify if anything in their immediate vicinity was a threat or worth harvesting as materials, and tried his best to let the murmurs of the 2 hunters behind him fade to indistinct sounds. He was kneeling in front of a shimmering rock, trying to figure out what kind of ore it was, when he saw the movement out of the corner of his eye. It was fast, but not quite fast enough to be a blur, a shadowy, distorted humanoid form that lunged at him with unsheathed claws. The attack raked across the shield around him before glancing off, and Lee-seok-yong had his chain whip wrapped around the shadowy figure before it could pull back. The creature was only humanoid in the vaguest sense. It had 4 limbs and walked upright on 2, but it was elongated and stretched out in a way that no human would ever be, armed with long, claw-like nails. The creature writhed in its bonds, its cries like nails on a chalkboard, and Lee-seok-yong let his mana gather in the chain whip that was wrapped around the shadow, tightening it brutally. It took more mana than he expected before the shadow screeched, then burst into fine black particles against the force of Lee-seok-yong's mana. Lee-seok-yong coiled his chain whip back into a ready position, considering. He'd never had to use that much mana to kill a non-boss monster before in any of the dungeons he'd run previously, so it was clear this was a creature of a different strength level entirely. He was fairly certain, at least, that this was a distorted being,
and was abruptly glad that he'd trapped this one and been able to learn what amount of strength it took to kill it. "Yunso, Quanzian," he started, turning to alert the other two hunters before the words died in his throat. As he turned, he saw the pair fending off another group of distorted beings, fighting back to back in a way that almost reminded Isokyong of a dance. Guanxian was the more dynamic of the two, striking out with his sword in one hand, cleaving shadowy figures in two, their attacks sparking blue as they bounced harmlessly off Yunso's shield. Guanxian moved like a storm, purposeful in his every move, allowing Yunso's shield around him to tank every hit, until Guanxian ducked to avoid a slash of claws, and the blue flickered before it glowed brightly around Guanxian once more, the same blue flashing in Yunso's eyes, before Guanxian threw himself back into the battle once again. Awed, Isokyong stared as a new wave of distorted beings rushed toward Guanxian, and then Yunso, back to back with Guanxian, handed Guanxian a sword that manifested in his palm. The newly summoned weapon gleamed in the light of the dungeon, matching the gleam in Guanxian's eyes, and he slashed across the enemies in front of him with it. The blade cleaved through shadow like a knife through butter, golden mana wreathing the sword in power. And Isokyong's breath caught in his throat when Yunso, not even looking at the fight behind him, raised his free hand and froze every dissipating shadow particle in midair. Electricity sparked over the spots of darkness hanging in midair, jumping from one particle to the next, like a self-contained lightning storm. For one moment, it was both beautiful and terrifying, like the calm before a storm as energy crackled unmoving. The next, Yunso's fingers flicked, and the electrical particles shot through the air towards Yunso's half of the battlefield, setting the air ablaze with lightning as the spark-filled particles connected with their targets and detonated like small, devastatingly accurate grenades. The dying screech of the creatures was ear-splitting, but gratifying. The ones on the edge of the group, far enough from the epicenter to escape spontaneous combustion, stretched out shadowy tendrils in what seemed to be an attempt to flee. Isokyong paused, wondering if he should step in to clear the stragglers. In the moment he'd taken to wonder, Guanxian had acted. That golden-infused sword gleamed brightly in his grip, slashing down on the heads of the would-be escapees. For every enemy that tried to escape Yunso's grasp, Guanxian split them in half. For every enemy that tried to escape Guanxian's grasp, Yunso detonated them with prejudice. The two moved like a well-oiled machine, Yunso's dagger flashing in the gaps left by Guanxian's swords, Guanxian's mana striking down whatever Yunso's electricity didn't. They covered each other so entirely that not a single other distorted being even made it through to reach Isokyong. For the first time since he'd awakened, Isokyong understood what it felt like to be entirely unneeded in a dungeon. And, he thought, chuckling lowly, that wasn't a bad feeling at all. The floor fractured apart under their feet a grand total of 5 more times, bringing the durability of Isokyong's flying item down to half, before the boss alarms triggered. They had been collecting some interesting-looking ores, when Guanxian straightened from his ore inspection to pull his blade out of his inventory. Isokyong hadn't needed to ask what had happened. "Let's get this over with," the younger hunter said, gold sparking in his eyes. "If we don't break some dungeon-clear records, even with 3 S-ranks on the team, Junqiu Hyung might actually scold me." "We just broke the record clear for an S-rank orange dungeon last month," Yunso commented, and Guanxian perked up. "Ah, Hyung is right," he said, grinning. "Junqiu Hyung won't be too upset then." Guanxian led the way, his sword swinging loosely in his grip. Yunso kept pace with him in a way that Isokyong didn't remember ever seeing in all his memories of Socheon. 13 years ago, when this man had just been a boy, he'd always, always tried to be the vanguard in any battle. He never argued for it, but he never allowed anyone to walk in front of him when exploring a dungeon, always insisted on being the front line, being the first one to draw aggro, the first to be attacked. Lee Seo-kyung had never seen Yoon-so, seen So-tae-yoon, walking side by side with another hunter before. So-tae-yoon had always been a one-man army, for all that he maintained the shields for the entire team. The So-tae-yoon he had known had been young and tired and won battles through sheer overwhelming force. Lee Seo-kyung had wanted, even back then, to pull him away from the front lines and simply just roll him in a blanket and tuck him into bed. The only person So-tae-yoon had ever slowed down for had been Lee Do-min, and even then, he'd been liable to shove Lee Do-min behind him like he had every other hunter he ever worked with.
"Young, what do you want to eat later?"
Guan-tian asked, one hand reaching out to stroke a finger over Rice Ball's head, where the bird was nestled in Yoon-so's hair.
"Kimchi jjigae, bibimbap, with bulgogi and egg rolls, haejangu. Or do you want something different this time? I'm sure there's still ingredients for pasta or steak in the fridge."
Even listening to the list of foods made Lee Seo-kyung hungry, but Yoon-so just hummed and rubbed thoughtfully at his chin.
"Kimchi jjigae always sounds good, but we've had that 2 days in a row now. Egg rolls and seaweed soup sound good as side dishes, though, so there needs to be a Korean main dish to match those. But it's been a while since I've had your pasta, too."
Lee Seo-kyung blinked. It sounded like Yoon-so and Kwon-jian had eaten together every day for the past week, and that Kwon-jian had personally cooked every meal. Kwon-jian laughed.
"Young, if you can't make up your mind, well, you can just have them all. It's not like we can't finish them between the two of us, anyway."
Perched on Yoon-so's head, Rice Ball let out a joyful-sounding peep, and Kwon-jian nodded seriously.
"See, Young? Rice Ball agrees, too. I'll make them all tonight, then. Just look forward to it."
Yoon-so chuckled lowly, then he reached out to intertwine his fingers with Kwon-jian's own.
"I'm already thinking about it."
"Oh." Lee Seo-kyung stared for a long moment at those joined hands. That was, he couldn't say he'd expected it, but somehow he wasn't surprised. It made a lot of interactions of the past few hours finally make sense, and he found that he was honestly glad for it. Kwon-jian was good for Yoon-so, he thought. He'd brought the closed-off, quiet, lonely So-tae-yoon out of his shell. He made a boy, who Lee Seo-kyung had always thought could afford to smile more, happy again. Made him laugh the way Lee Seo-kyung had never heard, even after knowing and working together with him for 3 years. Kwon-jian made Yoon-so brighter, in a way that eased something in Lee Seo-kyung's chest. He'd been worried when he'd first awoken and read about what had happened in that first great dungeon, that So-tae-yoon would only ever be a ghost, an echo of the person that he was, wrapped up in trauma and fear and guilt. But he was happy to be proven wrong. The So-tae-yoon, the Yoon-so of today, was in an even better state than the hunter that Lee Seo-kyung had known 13 years ago. He smiled more easily, laughed more freely, walked with a lightness in his step that had been missing all those years ago. He acted like he should have been given the chance to, back when he'd been 19 and forced to grow up too fast, carrying the weight of the world's hopes on his shoulders. Lee Seo-kyung smiled. It explained how in sync they were with each other, too. He'd known more than a few hunter couples in the past, and they'd almost all been each other's best partners. There was something to be said for having a partner that you trusted not only with your life, but also your heart and your entire self. And, well, he learned enough from this dungeon to know that fighting monsters hadn't really changed at all, save for the strength of the monsters. And the main point of today had been to update his Gaia system. All of which meant that he didn't feel too bad at all about his decision to let Kwon-jian and Yoon-so take the center stage in the boss fight later. He knew it wasn't going to be a challenge for them. It was only an A-rank boss, after all. But he was looking forward to watching the pair of them in action.
"This thing is a damn nuisance," Lee Seo-kyung grumbled,
dodging a spiked tendril before lashing out at it with his whip. The boss monster was indeed a plant type, but it had a thick, spiny shell around its body, surrounded by a writhing mass of dark green tendrils that seemed to sprout thorns freely. It had attacked all three of them indiscriminately the moment they had entered its range of motion, and Isogyong was honestly getting a little tired of dodging random tendrils that came out of nowhere. Even if Yunso's shield was more than holding up, Isogyong knew it must be an annoyance to Yunso to have to keep refreshing everyone's shields every so often, so he tried his best to minimize getting hit. Dodging was well within his capabilities, after all, even if it meant he was a little too distracted to land a significant hit. "And it has three phases, even," Isogyong said, chain whip lashing out to sever those ever-growing tendrils. Leaping forward to slice off another offending tendril before burying his sword into the boss's main body, Guan Xihan grinned, almost savagely.
"We're going to take it down in one, Hyung."
Yunso didn't respond verbally, but the shield around Guan Xihan glowed a bright blue. Guan Xihan's eyes flashed with mana, a red-black aura suffusing the blade that he'd stabbed into the monster. The boss monster froze, its tendrils withdrawing for a moment. Then, it let out a high shriek, every single thorned appendage bursting into motion, all of them aimed at Guan Xihan. "His skill induces madness in monsters," Yunso said, coming to stand beside Isogyong. "Solves a lot of problems when every attack is focused on him." As Isogyong watched, Yunso's eyes glowed blue. Then, "Guan Xihan, catch!" A dark-bladed sword materialized in Yunso's hand for only the briefest of moments before it was tossed through the air, landing perfectly in Guan Xihan's outstretched hand. Leaping backwards to put some space between himself and the berserk monster, Guan Xihan shot Yunso a grin.
"Thanks, Hyung."
"Just finish it quickly," Yunso said. But Isogyong would have had to be blind to miss the smile that tugged at his lips.
"As Hyung wishes."
Guan Xihan straightened, a golden glow suffusing his body before mana flashed in his eyes once more. The system notification took Isogyong by surprise, just moments before the unadulterated pressure did.
Guan Xihan has activated the skill, Food Chain.
It abruptly felt like someone had forced the weight of the world onto his shoulders, a pressure so heavy that he could barely breathe. His heart pounded so fiercely in his chest that it echoed in his ears, drowning out the sound of everything else around him. He could see, he thought, flashes of color and light and movement in front of him, but he could understand nothing of what he saw. His vision was clear, but it seemed disconnected from his brain, and was he trembling? He didn't know. He could barely even feel his fingers, a buzzing numbness coating his every limb. Was he breathing? He couldn't feel the rise and fall of his chest, couldn't feel the breath in his lungs, then relief. Sweet, sweet relief as the overwhelming pressure lifted, and air filled his lungs once more, his heart rate slowly returning to normal. He straightened, flexing his fingers, then his toes, then his fingers again before finally looking up. The boss was dead. It was nothing but an empty, broken shell, green tendrils limp around its body and surrounded by a mess of dismembered others, greenish fluid oozing sluggishly from its unmoving form. Food Chain, the skill notification had read before the immense suppression had hit. Terror, sheer, unadulterated terror. It was the same effect that some S-rank boss monsters could inflict on hunters, that Isogyong had had the misfortune of being affected by a few times before. But not even an S-rank boss monster had ever felt quite so devastating. And yet, Isogyong shot a glance to the side and stared at Yunso, who was calmly wiping the blood off of existing spirit. He shook his head in disbelief. A skill so powerful that it affected even other S-rank hunters, and yet Yunso showed no sign of its effects at all. Isogyong couldn't help the low chuckle that rose in his chest. Ah, he supposed they were truly made for each other after all. The two strongest hunters in the world, according to what he'd read online. He wondered briefly if they had ever sparred, and if they had, who had won. Hyung, here you go. Kwantian bounded back over to stand at Yunso's side, handing back the now bloody dark sword that Yunso had given him at first. Let's go. The exit portal just opened. We should get back so that I have more time to prepare our dinner. Yunso smiled and pulled his mask from his inventory to secure over his face once more. Let's go then. Yunso. Isogyong called, and Yunso looked up. Kwantian had briefly headed off to hand over the materials they collected from the dungeon to the collection team that had shown up outside the cleared dungeon, and Yunso was petting a currently lizard rice ball while leaning against his car. Isogyong, Yunso acknowledged. There was a brightness about his actions that Isogyong had never seen before, a light in his eyes and fondness in his movements as he played with the ego weapon. I wanted to say thank you for bringing me into the dungeon, Isogyong continued. And I don't know if you were trying to hide it or not, but Kwantian and you're good together. I'm happy for you. Yunso's entire expression softened, his eyebrows pulled apart, the harsh line of his lips curving slightly. We're not hiding it. I'm surprised you didn't know before this. It's all over the internet, whether I like it or not. You're good for each other, I think, from what I've seen. Yunso's brow creased briefly before smoothing out again. There was a gentle shine to his eyes now, an uncontrollable curve to his lips. He's the one who's good for me, really. In the distance, Kwantian came into view, jogging lightly.
Young, I'm done here, we can head off.
As Isokyong watched, Yunso's eyes creased at the corners, curving as he returned Kwantian's bright smile. You're both good for each other, he repeated, and stepped away to let Yunso open the car door. Have a good dinner, both of you. I hear Kwantian is quite the chef. Yunso chuckled a little, swinging his legs into the car. His voice was happier than Isokyong could ever remember hearing in all the years they'd known each other, and his gaze was fond as he looked at Kwantian, who was nearing them. Yeah, he is. Isokyong just smiled and stepped away. Yunso now only seemed to have eyes for one person, and Isokyong knew when his presence was unneeded. He turned, getting into his own car, and started the engine as he watched Kwantian join Yunso, their car driving away as Isokyong buckled himself into his seat. He didn't think he was seeing things when the setting sun shone at just the right angle through Yunso's car windshield, and he saw two heads angling together, pressed as close as two people could get. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave you back to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this podfic's post. And if you've enjoyed this podfic, you're welcome to leave me feedback. Thank you for listening.